Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, one verse of Scripture tonight. That will be the 18th verse. So we continue on the series that I've been looking at, sermons on the Holy Spirit. I dealt first with the facts about the personality of the Holy Spirit, then the foundation of the teaching, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Then I dealt last Sunday with the feast relating to the Holy Spirit, that of course being Pentecost. I hope that maybe that's a little more clear in your mind now after going through some of that. And tonight I look at the subject of being filled with the Spirit. If you're visiting tonight, I apologize because there's many things that I'm going to say that those that have been here will now take for granted and understand and grasp very quickly. But I'm not going to go back and repeat all of those things, the foundation, the scriptural basis for it. We've already took our premise for that. So if you're interested in that, I would say get all of the tapes. There'll be some things that we will not take. The reason for that is because there's some people that you just have to be here. Amen? You can say amen if you want to. I know folks can't help it when they can't be here all the time. But you know, I found out that you just can't piecemeal all the time. You have to be there from start to end on some things. And I think that God will bless us as we look at this study together tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This topic of being filled with the Spirit is recorded of Christians both in groups and as individuals in many places in the Word of God. If I counted accurately this week, in the book of Acts alone, there is 8 references to people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me just give you those very quickly. You can jot them down. The first one, of course, was on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:4. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. In Acts 4:31, many of those same people were present in a group again. And the Bible says that once again, we read that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But this time when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the Word of God with boldness. Then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible said that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and said, begin to speak. Peter was present on the other two occasions, so that means at least 3 times we have references to Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, a little later on, that's going to have significance. I don't believe that he was necessarily filled 3 times. I believe every time you saw him, he was filled. Because I believe it can be a continuing process of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Then in Acts 9:17, Paul, when Ananias went unto him, you remember God told Ananias to go to him, lay his hands upon him, a twofold purpose, that thou mayest receive thy sight and that thou mayest be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 13:9, we read of Paul in Cyprus when he was opposed by the sorcerer. We are told that Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. In Acts 6:3, we read where that they were commanded to choose out deacons. And there were 7 deacons that had been appointed to look after the social obligations and spiritual obligations of the church in Jerusalem. And in Acts 6:3, concerning the first 7 deacons that were selected, the Bible says that they were men full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom. In that same chapter, Acts 6 and verse 5, Stephen, the Bible says, was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And finally, Acts 11:24 says that Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. 8 places in Scripture where we read in the book of Acts alone where groups and individuals were filled with the Spirit. Now, I do not believe that that has ceased to be in the generation that we are in today. I still believe that God wants people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, and there are occasions where groups come together and the entire group is filled with the Holy Ghost as well. It was not only recorded of Christians, but also it was required of Christians. The passage that I read to you tonight talks about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is a direct command of God. It is an obligation for Christians to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only is it an obligation, but we see the duration of it as well. When He commanded to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that is a verb that is in the present tense. That means that it is a continual process. There are some folks that think this is like a light switch that we turn on and we turn off. But the filling of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we do not use Him, He uses us. And it's required of Christians, not just for preaching, but for living the Christian life, that we be filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that we can mention several things about it, but 3 points I bring to your attention very quickly tonight. First of all, in regards to the ascent of being filled with the Holy Spirit and what it presumes. There's a presumption that I make here automatically. If God commands for Christians to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it therefore must be possible to be a Christian and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. What determines whether a person as a believer is filled with the Spirit or not filled with the Spirit? I mentioned earlier in this series that the Holy Ghost, He is a person. The Bible says that Christ would pray and send Him unto us. And in regards to Him, we accept a person on the whole. But even though He is within us, I think that we must see for Him to fill us to overflowing, some things must occur. First of all, I call your attention to the fact that we should realize and recognize the terminology between the two. The baptism of in the Holy Ghost is referring to receiving the Holy Spirit. But the fullness of the Holy Ghost is in reference to releasing the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. It's like a prisoner inside of our life that has no power. The reason that he has no power, I believe, is first of all, there is a lack of willingness to allow his activities to take place within our life. We must want him to be able to use us and to operate effectively in our life as he wills and as he chooses. Another reason that folks do not experience that is they want him to do certain things, but not other things. So they restrict his activities in their life. For example, they're much like somebody that goes to a brand new dentist, and they don't know very much about that dentist, and they trust that dentist very little because they know it can hurt, and it can hurt quick. So the whole time that the dentist is working in their mouth, they keep their hand just a few inches away as to say, I'll let you go so far, but I will not let you allow me to squeal. I'll stop you from doing that. So their hand is ready at any time to stop the activity of that dentist. I found that with many believers, they want the fullness of the Holy Ghost in their life, but they stand with their hand ready, saying, I'll allow God to do so much, but I'll limit His activities. He came to lead, but He'll only lead if we allow Him to lead us. He came to teach, but He'll only teach us if we allow Him to teach us. He came to pray, because they prayed in the Spirit, but we can only pray by and through the Spirit if we allow Him to operate within us. I'm saying it is possible to restrict the activities and the movement of the Holy Ghost. I have seen many, many folks that have said something like this to me. They said, Cal, I just felt so blessed. I could have run the aisles and shouted. Well, why didn't you? When you failed to do that, you restricted the working of the Holy Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit within your life. When we limit His activities in us, in other words, I cannot tell Him what I want to do. I must be willing to do what He wants me to do. I cannot pick the things that I want concerning Him and discard the other things. I have to put myself at His beck and call and say, whatever that activity is, if the activity is the leadership to try to be a blessing and witness to somebody, I must allow Him to speak through me. I cannot say I want to pray in the Spirit, but I don't want to praise in the Spirit. I cannot say, well, I'm afraid that I'll look silly if I say amen or weep or praise the Lord and limit His activity. When we limit the activity of the Holy Spirit, we limit the fullness of His Spirit in our life. Not only the activity, but I think that a lot of people also do not allow His authority in their life. What He says goes. What He wants will happen. It will be His will, His way, or no way at all. I don't mean to be cruel, I'm just being honest. It is always God's way or it's the highway. We have to choose which direction that we're going to go. And to say, I want the Spirit and I want the fullness of the Spirit. But then to come to the place where we're saying, I'm not willing to submit to the authority of the Holy Spirit when He touches my heart about things that will help me live better, act better, walk better, be a better Christian. When I limit His authority in certain areas of my life, then I cannot experience His fullness in my life. Boy, you're quiet tonight. Just soak this in, okay? He has authority over everything. Now, I'm going to make some statements you're not going to like, but I'll go ahead and make it anyway. You cannot experience the fullness of the Holy Ghost if you're not willing to tithe. I'm still preaching. Why? Because your unwillingness limits the authority of the Holy Spirit in your finances. I've got news for you folks. God doesn't have 10% of my finances. He has 100%. Sometimes that means God does certain things. And Howard, I don't understand why God requires some things out of me. But yet, for His seal of approval, I have to be obedient when He deals with my heart, even when I don't see a way or it makes no sense. And I have to sometimes step out by faith and do things that are not logical whatsoever. But I must allow Him the authority to do what He wills in my life. A fellow told me here a while back, he said, God really put it on my heart, preacher, to give the church a big offering. He said, but then I just decided it was just a spur of a moment thing. That couldn't have been of God. Well, who do you think it was of? Do you think the devil tells you to give money to church? He don't want this thing built. He don't want people blessed. He don't want anything. I'm telling you, until He has authority, you cannot experience the fullness of God. Authority not only over your finances, but also authority in your home. That means that when He deals with your heart and says, I don't know why He says this to certain people, but He'll say certain things to certain people. And by the way, don't confuse what I'm saying right now. He may say it to you because you have other problems that somebody else may not have that you can't see. He'll come into your family, He'll come into your life personally, and He'll say, you can't do that. You can't go there. It may be fine for everybody else to go there, but you can't go there. It is not a question of me asking the Spirit of God, why can't I go there? It is not a matter of me saying, everybody else goes there. It is a matter of me saying, the Holy Spirit wants to see my willingness to give Him total authority in my life enough to say, even when He says, don't go here, don't go there, don't say this, don't do that, I'm willing to submit to His authority. But sometimes when people submit to the authority of the Holy Ghost, then they want everybody else to be under their authority. Because now they've settled it in their heart. Therefore, everybody else ought to be just like I am. That's not always the case. You ought to have convictions, and you ought to stand on your convictions as strong as you can stand. There's some things, even as a church collectively, we have as a conviction. The truth of the matter is, those convictions are not up for vote when it's decided collectively by the leadership of this church. It's not up for vote. It's already been decided as the leadership deciding collectively for a body, just like you decide individually in your life. It's not up for vote. It's not up for vote. Do you hear me? I don't care if you're so tired you can't keep your eyes open tonight. I'm not going to have a special service to be convenient for you. It's not up for a vote. You say, I don't like it. I don't care if you don't like it. Collectively, we've made our decisions on something. You know, it amazes me every year at camp, we get ready to go to camp. And we'll have outsiders that will call and they'll say, we got your camp rules. We don't like them. Do you think that we really care that somebody out of town don't like the rules that our church operates by? Our rules is not for every other church. Our rules is for this church. And the problem of it is, what you can't see is the other problems that have been avoided and things that have been evaded because those principles were set and followed. That doesn't mean that it's right for every other church. That means that it's right for our church. And if I'm not willing to come under the authority of that, and if I get a rebellious nature about me, that I'm constantly wanting to fight that and fight in the wrong direction and not submit myself to the authority of the Holy Spirit, then I will stop the activity and the authority of the Holy Spirit in my life. You may not agree with it, but there's things you have to respect. I better move on, okay? You're still here, aren't you? The attack that being filled with the Holy Spirit provokes. This is the main reason that a lot of people do not want to be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, get ready. The war's on. There are so few Spirit-filled believers in this country today that every time that a believer makes their mind up individually, I'm going to allow the activity of the Holy Spirit in my life to do what He wills, and I'm going to submit to His authority. And when the fullness of the Spirit comes, that is the releasing of His power within our life. Not the receiving, it is the releasing of His power in our life. There are so few that are willing to do that in today's society that when that really comes, I'm not talking about somebody standing up and saying, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. Hey, if they're Spirit-filled, they won't have to tell you. You'll know it. You'll know it. This is something that the world sees and they take note of. And they understand there's something different about that. You have the choice to be a Christian and maintain a status quo. Or folks, I'm telling you tonight, you have the choice to go to a higher level. And the only way you can go to a higher level is to release the activity of the Holy Spirit within my life. To say, Lord, sometimes You lead me in places that I have not been, but I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to do what You want, what You lead me to do. God, I'm willing to do that. And the fullness comes. When the attack is provoked, don't worry. Because the Holy Spirit equips us with two things. He equips us for witnessing. When the attacks come, He'll give you the right words to say at the right time. One of the key words that you'll find throughout Scripture and phrases after the day of Pentecost was, and they spoke. And they spoke with boldness. And they spoke. The Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Spirit. And He began to speak. every time God gave them the right words to say. Preachers, please hear me. The time you'll mess up, the only time you'll ever mess up from a pulpit, the only time any preacher will ever mess up from any pulpit is when they preach in the flesh and not in the spirit. It will attack for votes, but they can't do anything about it, because if you are substantiating it with the Word of God will stand when the world is on fire. So He equips us to witness. The second thing that He does, He equips us in warfare. In Acts chapter 2, when the fullness came, the first thing they faced was ridicule and mockery. In the 4th chapter, in the 21st verse, they received resistance and threats. Now, doesn't that seem funny? People just worshiping the Lord and they were threatening their life. Do you know why? Because when there is a fullness of the Spirit in a church and in believers' lives, that church becomes a magnet for every religion in that area. Because this is the key to church growth. The thing that most people are looking for, most churches never provide them with. And that is a personal relationship with the Lord, where they have a liberty and a sense of freedom instead of feeling strapped and in bondage where they're at. There is a sense of freedom that is there because of the presence and power of the Holy Ghost. And folks, I've got news for you. Any church that wants to grow, the only thing they have to do is pray that they may be filled with the Holy Ghost, that their church may be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that their preacher may preach with the fullness of the Spirit, that their singers may sing with the fullness of the Spirit, that the testimonies will come with the fullness of the Spirit, that teachers will teach with the fullness of the Spirit. I'm telling you, when that comes to any church, that church becomes a magnet in any community that they are working in, and it draws people from everywhere. You know how many people come to our services, and when they first start coming, they hate me. But they got to keep coming back. Something keeps drawing them back. What is that? Because even though they don't understand, and even though they're not aware of all of it, they know one thing: God is here. And if God is here, how do we know that He's here? Because of the overflowing movement of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, folks, there's churches in America today. You can't go into and preach like I'm preaching tonight. There's churches in this country today where folks can't shout like some of you shout. There's churches where if you started to weep, somebody would come and ask you if you want them to call 911, afraid that you're sick or that something is wrong. Oh, folks, may we crave the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives and in our church, that God will bless us and use us. He equips us. Finally, not only the ascent that being filled with the Holy Ghost presumes, the attack that being filled with the Holy Ghost provokes, the answer that being filled with the Holy Ghost provides. I think fullness with the Holy Ghost will solve two major problems in the church world today. The first problem is indifference. As I travel and work with pastors and check throughout the area, the common characteristic that I find among all dying churches is one characteristic: the people don't care anymore. They're indifferent. Where the fullness of the Holy Ghost is, people care. They care about others. They care about needs. They care about souls. They care about children. They care about elderly people. The Holy Spirit helps us to love people and care for people. And when we lose that burden of concern, we cease to fulfill the basic duties that God has given to the church. I'm here to tell you, folks, boy, this isn't going to go over good, but I'll preach it anyway. It's getting hard to find pastors that care. Just check around. It's getting harder and harder to find preachers that even care. I'll be honest with you folks. If they start showing me that all they care about is money, all they care about is prestige, if anything ever makes me sick to my stomach, it's to call a preacher or singing group and all they want to do is throw around names of who they rub shoulders with and whose video they've been on. I don't care in the least. When they come here, all I want is for them to bless my soul. And it won't bless my soul who they've been with on this earth. What will bless my soul with is if they have been in the throne room of God eternal and standing in the presence of God Almighty and have something fresh from heaven for us. That's what matters. Indifference. There are so many preachers that the only thing they care about is a paycheck every week. There's so many people that the only thing they care about is having a good rapport among the denominational hierarchy. They want the reports to show certain things, and they'll go to any measure to try to stretch it and make them look bigger than what they are and doing more than what they're really doing, because that in turn is what pads their pocket to rise and climb a denominational ladder somewhere to get them to the top of the hierarchy and to get them out of the church and make more money. Now, you can accuse me of a lot of things, but one thing you can never accuse me of from this pulpit, you can never accuse this preacher of being a money grabber. Why? Because I learned a long time ago, God owns every bit of it. And I believe this with all of my heart. If I live right and do right, and if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I don't care what I need. If I ask God, and I let that need be known, God somehow will move on His people's heart to meet that need. And that need will always be filled because God will make sure of it. Indifference. The second thing it will solve is incompetence. God deliver us with people that are filled with egos instead of filled with the Spirit. How many of my preachers here now? How many preachers we have all over the sanctuary? Hold your hand up, all the preachers. Come on, guys, be honest with me. Be honest with me tonight. Don't you get sick of going into churches and hearing people sing that can't sing? I mean, they're totally incompetent. You still with me? Now, I know that it's not all in our ability, but there's only one thing that makes up for our lack of ability and the lack of incompetence we have. Guess what that is? The fullness in the Holy Ghost. A drunk man don't know a good song from a bad song. Are you with me? Incompetence. The areas that you feel that you're weak on, that you do not have the ability in certain areas to do certain things, and you feel like you're incompetent in that area. Do you know what makes up for that incompetence? The Holy Spirit. I sure don't feel competent to do a third of the things that God allows me to do. I'll be honest with you folks, I sure don't feel competent to lead a group of people like you all. Finest folks in this country. God knows my heart. I pray often and I say, God, they deserve better than me. But Lord, the only way that they can know I'm not any good is if the Holy Ghost shows up. And if it gets spiritually intoxicating, we'll be all right. If we don't have Him, folks, we're in trouble. What does this fullness mean? Well, let me explain it to you. And I'll close with this. My grandmother, my mother's mother, lived in a little tiny shack beside of a tiny creek. We loved to go to Granny's house. Because as soon as mom and dad got out the driveway, we were in that creek. I don't know what it is about water and boys, water and kids, but we love creeks. We love to try to catch minnows. You guys ever take those old tin cans and, you know, have somebody, I'd have my brother run the minnows up the creek and I'd try to catch them with those old coffee cans. We'd stay out there all day long. And every now and then we'd get the bright idea, and this is what we would do. We'd get some great big rocks, and the creek during the summertime, it wasn't 2 to 3 feet wide at the most in the wide places, lots of places, just maybe 18 inches or so wide. And we'd get great big rocks, and we'd line those rocks up on the narrow places, and we'd lay them up there. I mean, we'd put those rocks up a foot, foot and a half high. Then we'd hack off some of the turf along the, you know, when the water, when creeks get high around here, and wash the dirt out from under the turf, you could hack that turf off with your hand, and then you could pack that in real tight. And guess what would happen? That water would start pooling up. We wouldn't let the minnows get down the creek. We were going to block them all off. And we'd work all day long building that dam to hold that water in. And everything below that dam, by the end of the day, would dry up. But you know what's the craziest part of all of it? After we did all that work, do you know what was the most fun? Watching the pressure build until finally you could just touch that dam in one weak spot and it would break loose and that water would roll down that empty dry bed stream. And it would flow, and we'd turn right around and do the same thing all over again. We'd block it all off. Do you know what I think we need in America today? We need to quit holding the Holy Ghost down in our life. Glory to God.